that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, and they just disagree on how.
We're going to get across that wasteland, and we're going to do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Mitt. Today we are previewing what is probably going to be a bloodbath for the Kansas Jayhawks. They are facing the Oklahoma Sooners on Saturday, with the Sooners coming to town, but Kansas missing a lot of big pieces on their team. I don't know that we can really expect very much from the Jayhawks on this game. But to help me preview the game anyway, I went ahead and reached out to Kamiar Morabian. We had him on over the summer to preview the Oklahoma Sooners for us. So he is returning. He is from the Crimson and Cream Machine. Kamiar, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, man. How are you guys doing?
We could be doing better. Obviously, the big news that officially dropped is that Khalil Herbert is now officially no longer with the team. He will be transferring, it seems like, after he redshirts this year. Not exactly sure how all that's going to work, and there's tons of questions, but obviously getting all those questions answered doesn't really do much for this particular team. So the talking about the game coming up, obviously Oklahoma has been absolutely phenomenal this season. The offense hasn't seemed to miss a beat. In fact, it seems better this year than it has in previous years. And the defense hasn't really faced any offense that's probably worth talking about, but they definitely seem to be improved, at least superficially at this point, from what they were last year. So what has been the bigger surprise for you? Just how much of a step forward the offense seems to have taken, or how good the defense has been playing so far?
I think you're a disciple of Lincoln Riley and you just believe that he will take the necessary components and make an offense successful just dependent upon who his personnel is. I think a lot of people just expected the offense to be pretty good. Maybe not this good as far as they're just continuing to churn out things. And of course, there are things that we're nitpicking as far as the offensive line goes, because people are just not Oklahoma fans and people in general aren't satisfied. Oh, hell, even Bill Beatenbo, the Oklahoma offensive line coach, isn't satisfied with where they're at, which tells you the caliber of guys that they're used to having. You still would have to go with the defense. I mean, back when Mike Stoops was the coach on the defense side of the ball, they played two gap scheme and defensive linemen weren't getting in the backfield. They just kind of were standing up and holding the offensive linemen to give the linebackers an idea where the ball might be going, and just, getting no tackles for losses, or there no pressure on the quarterback, which means when you don't get pressure on the quarterback, that 100% means there are no turnovers being forced and there's just no pressure in general. And that's bad for a defense, as we all know. So just the overall surprise is definitely right now, which, I mean, in the nation, looking at the team efficiency on ESPN, and because, S&P hasn't come out yet with their rankings, on ESPN team efficiency, Oklahoma is number 3, with the offense, of course, being number 1 and defense ranking 30th, which is, it's 30th, that's outside the top 25, but is it a far cry from where they've been the last few years?
Yeah, I wonder how much, though, of that defensive improvement is just the fact that they really haven't played anybody. The best offense that they've played to this point so far has been Houston. And Houston is ranked number 72 in total offense in the nation. So not even in the top half. And, I understand that everybody is ecstatic with how good the defense has been, but do you feel that they've actually faced any kind of offense that would give them a challenge, especially since Texas Tech didn't have Alan Bowman last week?
I think they faced players that would give them a challenge, but not necessarily whole offenses. I mean, we can sit here all day and say, well, they haven't played anybody, so that doesn't mean squad. I mean, I think that's a fair criticism. That's why me and some of my colleagues were disappointed when Alan Bowman is, turned out to be made of glass, that the man breaks all the time. because it was going to be Oklahoma's first real test against a spread team, and what better spread team to have your first test to against the other than the Red Raiders? So I mean, you still look at it and you're like, okay, I mean, Derek King, he's a dynamic electric playmaker when he has time, and Oklahoma bottled him up. But then again, you know, Houston's offensive line kind of sucks, even though the skill position players are pretty good, a wide receiver. Then he had DTR and UCLA, which they had an anomaly against Wazoo where, you know, they just had one magical night. And, of course, South Dakota sucks. And then, you know, they play Texas Tech, but what is Texas Tech with a Jet Duffy in comparison to a Texas Tech with an Alan Bowman? But what I think fans look at, or what I think people look at, is the way they play. It's different. I mean, the scheme or the alignment is much more different than the alignment is very similar, and the amount of players and the types of players they're throwing on the field comparison in the last few years is very similar. But the way they're playing scheme-wise, checkdowns front to back of the defense is very different, whereas they're actually one-gapping and getting into the backfield and, you know, not playing the same guy 70 to 80 snaps a game. They're rotating players in and out of the game to keep them fresh. That way they can rush the quarterback and stuff like that, and not playing 9 yards off the ball on third and one and dumb Mike Stoops things. So they're changing their attitude. They're changing the mentality, and they're changing the way they play. But of course, we have yet to see them play actual good teams. Now, we've seen them play good players, dynamic players, but not actual teams that they'll see in the Big 12 going forward.
Yeah, I mean, and really, I think that's the only kind of criticism you can have on Oklahoma so far. It's not that, you know, the defense definitely looks improved. And like you said, it seems like all the building blocks are there. The question is, does it all come together when they face an offense that can operate fairly efficiently overall, yeah, and not just have individual standout players? Like you were saying, UCLA had a huge offensive explosion there, but that explosion only got them up to number 87 in terms of the overall ranking. So they had to have that phenomenal game in order to even get to 87. If they didn't have that, they would probably be down in the, you know, the mid 110s or something like that. That's how bad they've been the rest of the year, you know, and obviously Texas Tech is a much higher ranked offense overall. But that includes the first 3 weeks that they had with Alan Bowman. You know, they're 32nd, I believe it is, as of right now. So again, you know, they have not faced an offense, like you said, that is all there. Now, granted, they're not facing an offense this week that's all there, like we, you know, kind of already alluded to. So looking at this specific game, what do you think is the biggest threat then for this Oklahoma defense in terms of who do they need to watch out for Kansas? And do you think Kansas has the ability to put together a game plan that could potentially challenge this defense?
I mean, anytime Les Miles plays Oklahoma, there's always a chance, right? I mean, that's the that's what it seems like since early 2000s. But I mean, you look at the tape from last year, even in Norman, and Oklahoma's up 35-17 heading into the fourth quarter, and the game ends up being 55-40. And Puka Williams gave them hell. Like it was an amount of shell shock throughout. You're like you're kidding. You know, it's Kansas, and it's not even like Les Miles Kansas to where like they actually have a good coach. It's just Kansas that hasn't been very good. And you let them score 40 points in Norman last year. So, I mean, again, Puka Williams is a fantastic back. I mean, they have great, you know, backs there. And, or as Les Miles said, which almost made Sam Mays, you know, just completely keel over at Big 12 Media Days. Les Miles said that, you know, he had more talent in that Kansas locker room than when he first started Oklahoma State. Now, whether that's true or not, that's up to, you know, the eye of the beholder. But, of course, you know, the running game with quick scat backs, they might give Oklahoma some issues. And quite frankly, I mean, Kansas's quarterback, I mean, Carter Stanley, he has completion percentage is like 57%. But Kansas is not, they're not having a Stone Age offense out there. They're going to run some RPOs. And even with Jet Duffy, even with Derek King, you know, a couple times, but Jet Duffy most often, who doesn't even throw the ball that well, he sucks at throwing the ball. Let's just be honest. That guy is not a passer. They ran the RPO against Oklahoma a few times and they gained yardage over the middle. So we're still just like waiting, you know, as Oklahoma fans and people that watch the game and looking at X's and O's, still just waiting to see, okay, like we've seen the defensive changes in mentality and the way they play with the aggression they play, but are they still going to get burned over the middle? Are the linebackers knowing truly what to do right now? So we're still in a wait and see mode because, I mean, if Jet Duffy can complete 3 or 4 RPOs over the middle to a tight end, and the same DTR, UCLA did the same thing with Asiasi, and Derek King didn't really get enough time because their offensive line was horrible to do that. But, I mean, it's still RPOs over the middle, which is concerning.
Yeah, so I guess that kind of answers my main question about how Kansas could potentially attack this Oklahoma team. You know, they have two good receivers that are good on crossing routes over the middle in Andrew Parchman and Daylon Charlotte. And like you said, Carter Stanley, he's not the most productive quarterback that you could potentially have, but he seems to have whatever quality that is to you know, bounce back from any mistakes he might have, to really get in there and find ways to be successful. You know, it hasn't always worked out, and you know, he's going to have mistakes, and I fully expect to see some in this particular game, but you know, it sets up to have a similar sort of game to what we had last year, in that, you know, Kansas has enough playmakers that could potentially open some things up. And if Oklahoma is not sound on their defensive assignments, you know, it very easily could get into a shootout that a lot of people wouldn't be expecting.
Right.
So I guess really the main question that comes out of that then would be, well, I'm trying to think of the best way to ask this, but coming into the game, or I should say right now, the line for this game is 35 points. You know, so Oklahoma is favored
by 35.
Yes, it's a gigantic line. Given the recent history for these two teams, you can't really say that it's unjustified, but would you be willing to touch that line with, you know, any sort of bet at all?
Oh, hell no. I'm not touching that thing with a 10-foot pole. No way.
Yeah. I mean, I agree, because I could see this going one of two ways. Like, either Kansas is going to, you know, put up a fight, and we're going to have a similar sort of score to last year where, you know, Oklahoma scores 50 to 60 points and Kansas somehow scores, you know, 35 to 40, in which case everyone's going to be like, well, what the hell's going on with Oklahoma? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, Kansas is just going to fall apart after everybody's left and they're still trying to figure everything out, and Oklahoma is, you know, obviously going to have a chip on their shoulder after last year. You know, despite the fact that this is, you know, they were the much better team last year, Kansas gave them a run for their money. And to be honest, like, that game was in doubt in the fourth quarter, and it really shouldn't have been. So I could see Oklahoma coming in, just blowing them out and demoralizing them really quickly, and then winning by 50 points.
I can see both ways too.
Yeah. So I'm glad I'm not a gambling degenerate and really, you know, forced to bet on this particular one. But
I mean, if the line is 28, I'd feel more comfortable.
Yeah. Or, I mean, yeah, if it was in the 20s somewhere, like, I would even potentially go with like a 30 point line, but yeah, 35 is just a little too much for me. So, all right. I do have a few more things I want to ask you, but first I do need to throw it to a quick break. We'll be right back on the Rock Talk podcast, and we're back. All right. So, normally, you know, we dive in depth to everything that's kind of going on with these particular teams, get, you know, a whole bunch of information about all the different big names that we're expecting to hear from. I get the feeling that if we tried to list everybody that you're expecting to get good things from on Saturday, that we could probably be talking for a couple hours, because I'm sure that your, you know, third stringers on the bench could probably score a whole bunch in this particular game. So what I'm going to ask instead, obviously the headline name for the Oklahoma offense is Jalen Hurts. You know, being the transfer, being a potential third quarterback in a row that is a Heisman candidate, and it seems to be outperforming, you know, what the prior quarterback did.
Right.
How much of this do you think is a Lincoln Riley and his system is just set up to highlight the quarterback and get them a ton, you know, of stats, or how much of it is that he's just been very fortunate to have these transfer quarterbacks who are set up to thrive in that particular system? I guess really what I'm asking is, how much of this is the system and how much of it is the individual quarterback?
I think like most things, it's not one way or the other. I think it's the smoke is somewhere in between, because I mean, you look at a Baker Mayfield. He was on campus at Oklahoma for four years, if you can count his redshirt year. And then You have a Kyler Murray who's on campus for 3 years under a Lincoln Riley. So people that give them credit, people that give Cliff Kingsbury credit and A&M credit and, you know, whatever for Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield, it's outlandish to me because, I mean, hell, Baker spent 4 years at Oklahoma and Kyler spent 3 years at Oklahoma, and which is, of course, way more than they spent in their respective places. And then, of course, now you have a Jalen Hurts who is a completely different quarterback than a Kyler Murray or a Baker Mayfield. And so then we're really thinking, okay, you know, what are we going to get? Is he going to tailor the offense 100% to Jalen Hurts, where you're going to see QB run powers and a lot more play action? Or is it going to be like a wide open offense to where he's just basically going to be like, all right, Jalen, you know, go make the throws. We're going to water down the offense for you. And like I said just before, it's also somewhere in between. I mean, Lincoln Riley is still doing things that he did with Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield. And because the way he runs the offense, I mean, some of the throws are just really easy. And then at the same time, he's also tailoring the offense to Jalen Hurts. You didn't see Oklahoma in 12 personnel last year. You didn't see Oklahoma in 13 personnel last year with two to three tight ends and a one wide receiver. That was not a thing. And now that you have, like, you know, one H-back and two tight ends on a side, and you have CeeDee Lamb in the backfield or in the, you know, after the side, and you have Jalen Hurts in the backfield with just another running back, that's just brand new. So part of it is tailoring the offense where Jalen Hurts can be successful, and part of it is just the player themselves. Now, Jalen Hurts is just unique in the fact that he's a large guy. I mean, he's a tight end, running back, playing quarterback, and he's pretty good at it. And what we saw in the first few games is him go through his first read, and if CeeDee Lamb's not open, he wasn't throwing the ball, and he was going to tuck it and run. And you saw after the bye week that he stayed in the pocket a lot longer against Texas Tech. Mind you, it's Texas Tech defense, but he stayed in the pocket a lot longer, and you saw him like look off defensive backs and also go through a little more progressions to where he had a lot more yardage through the air than what he normally would, and he threw a lot more deep balls. So, like I said, it's somewhere in between. I mean, Oklahoma's fortunate to have really great talents, whether they're not highly recruited as a Baker Mayfield or they're highly recruited like a Kyler Murray and a Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, definitely. So the question that comes to mind is, obviously, this is Jalen Hurts last year. Any chance you think that the Houston quarterback that's redshirting is going to transfer in, and then you guys will have four in a row?
No, not at all. I mean, honestly, if Spencer Rattler commits to Oklahoma and gets to Oklahoma in the spring, I'm not even sure Jalen Hurts is taken by Lincoln Riley. Spencer Rattler is that highly thought of in the program and is the real deal. And he's a guy that, honestly, word at a camp was that he was pushing the other two quarterbacks because of how accurate he is and how great of a passer he is, and he just has some freshman mistakes to get out of his game, out of his repertoire, because I can guarantee you Oklahoma, they might need a transfer quarterback from, like, you know, a small school just to back up Spencer Rattler next year, because I don't know if Tanner Mordecai, which is the backup quarterback right now, will stick around if Spencer Rattler gets that job.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess in terms of Rattler, is there any worries, like, from what you've seen from him, what kind of quarterback is he? Because, you know, we have several quarterbacks that I think are a little too run happy and could potentially get themselves set up for injury. Are you guys worried about needing to have a good quality backup just in case, or is he kind of more of a traditional pocket passer?
Regarding to Jalen Hurts or Rattler?
Rattler.
Rattler is a unique quarterback. He has the ability to run. I mean, I hate to use this because we just saw the man. But Spencer Rattler reminds me a lot of Patrick Mahomes, and I'm not comparing the talent, because Patrick Mahomes is all NFL guy. You know, you replace you put Patrick Mahomes on OU instead of Baker Mayfield, I mean, the team is still as productive, if not more productive, because Patrick Mahomes is that good. But, I mean, just like Pat Mahomes, Spencer Rattler is not a guy that's going to wow you with his speed. But does he have functional athleticism? He does. So will he scramble out of the pocket like a Baker Mayfield, like a Patrick Mahomes? He will. But does he have the speed of a Jalen Hurts or a Kyler Murray? No, he doesn't. But it's functional to where he will scramble and get out of the pocket. But for the most part, they want him in the pocket throwing darts because his accuracy is what set him apart in camp between him and the other two quarterbacks.
Okay. So, I mean, you can tell how much we're worried about the actual outcome of this game that we're already talking about next year for Oklahoma. But, you know, another thing that always comes to mind when you talk about Oklahoma and Lincoln Riley is, you know, there's always this concern that Lincoln Riley has been so successful so quickly down here at Oklahoma at one of the, you know, upper echelon NCAA programs. Is there worry that he might get, you know, grabbed for an NFL coaching job if one comes up that might be attractive to him? You know, now that he has several quarterbacks that are in the league, you know, there's a lot of talk about if Freddie Kitchens in Cleveland, you know, is in over his head. You know, if that spot opens up with Baker Mayfield, are you guys worried about that sort of thing with Lincoln Riley potentially moving on and then trying to find a coach that can continue this type of system? Or do you not really think that that's something to worry about at this point?
I mean, anytime when you have a young head coach that his offense is just unbelievable to where like you have NFL teams coming through during the summer being like, how the hell do you do what you do? I think there's got to be worry. I mean, when you have a guy innovating something and you have multiple universities and NFL teams coming by and seeing how you do things, it means you have a product that people want to know what it's about and it's hot and people are willing to buy it. So of course, you mean you're concerned, right? I mean, why wouldn't you be if you have the hottest young coach in college football? I mean, like, because like, I mean, he's barely, you know, he's not that old. I mean, like, clearly he's not a Nick Saban, a Les Miles or Dabo Sweeney. He's not, you know, he's a young coach. And the fact that he relates to the players and the fact that his offense has been so explosive and the teams have even gotten better under him for Oklahoma than under the Stoops era. Yeah, you're worried about it. So, I mean, like, but the only, what teams are you worried about realistically as Oklahoma fans? Maybe is probably, I mean, if the Cowboys come calling, I mean, that's really who you're worried about. Cause you know, Jerry Jones loves himself some Oklahoma coaches because Gary Gibbs was a guy on staff for Dallas. Of course the King, Barry Switzer was a guy on staff for Dallas. So you've got, and even Jimmy Johnson, who wasn't an OU guy, actually was for a little bit. And then, but was Oklahoma State kid. And so Jerry Jones loves himself some Oklahoma guys. And so you always got to wonder about that Cowboy connection.
So what you're telling me is that as a Big 12 fan who wants to see Oklahoma potentially take a step back, I need to be rooting as hard as I can for the Cowboys to have problems this year so that they'll want to fire their coach and potentially come get Lincoln Riley. Is that what you're telling me?
That's correct, and that's what Kirk Herbstreit also told us on the podcast. He was like, yeah, well, if you want to keep Lincoln Riley, just better hope Jason Garrett wins games.
That's awesome. All right, so coming back to the game at hand, I think everybody who is listening to this or is even thinking about this game does not expect Kansas to really put up a fight in this one. But let's say the unthinkable happens and Kansas somehow pulls off the monumental upset. What would it take for Kansas to get into this game and make it enough of a game that they would be able to go ahead and actually win it?
I would say 100%. And this is my fear. This was my fear about playing Texas Tech until we saw Alan Bowman go down the week before. But Jalen Hurts would have to throw a couple of interceptions early, and they would have to get Oklahoma behind the chains because we haven't seen. I mean, because Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, if Oklahoma gets down, okay, their offense is potent enough, and those arms are live enough for the quarterbacks. Those are live enough arms to where you're not worried about the offense really staying in the game. But with Jalen Hurts, you know, is he throws the ball differently. He throws the ball actually a little bit late, and then later than you want to when he's trying to throw a wide receiver open. So he's still learning. So I would say Jalen Hurts probably have to throw a couple of interceptions, and then we might get cooking as far as, okay, let's see if the defense is real. And if the defense is better but still not up to par, then Oklahoma could be in an interesting predicament.
Yeah, I mean, I think it doesn't even matter necessarily so much what Oklahoma does early. It's going to be how well Kansas gets out of the gate offensively, because what we saw last year that made that a game, made it interesting, and had a lot of Oklahoma fans worried wasn't the fact that Kansas' defense was able to do anything. It was the fact that the Kansas offense was matching them blow for blow early in the game and was able to keep it close enough that there was a question. You know, Oklahoma's not going to have an offense that runs perfectly and is going to go down and drive and score every single time. So if they're scoring on 80% of their drives, but Kansas is able to score on 75% of their drives. All it takes is one weird turnover or one random bounce of the ball, and Kansas could potentially be in it. I think that's really what it's going to come down to, is can Kansas get anything going offensively? And, you know, unfortunately for the Oklahoma defense, like, the only thing that can happen to them in this game that would tell us anything about what kind of defense they have would be bad things. Because if Kansas is able to match Oklahoma drive for drive, go down and score a bunch of touchdowns, then I think you have to be worried about, can this defense actually stand up to what are supposed to be the really good offenses in the year, you know, in like Texas or Oklahoma State or other teams like that. But if they shut down the Kansas offense, it's really easy to say, oh, well, you know, they're missing Khalil Herbert. Right. You know, they're having all these other issues. And, like, it doesn't really tell us anything. And so, ultimately, I think that's the worry if you're an Oklahoma fan, is that, you know, it's a lose-lose situation for the defense. But if they're able to keep it close, then I think you have to get worried pretty early.
Because the next game is Texas. And then, like, I mean, just the expectation is the Oklahoma defensive line, because they do have, I mean, they've got a group of guys that are really special. And if they can't get pressure on, you know, Carter Stanley, that's going to be concerning for the defense as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess that really kind of is the other question, is there any chance that Oklahoma overlooks Kansas because they're getting ready for the Texas game next week?
As Jalen Hurts would say, I think he would say it's rat poison. So, no, maybe not.
True. I mean, Jalen Hurts coming from Alabama and kind of being ready for those sorts of things. Now, they don't have any – well, they don't typically have any games that are this much of a talent disparity, I don't think. But, you know, I think it's a little bit of a different kind of a different mentality that quarterback has, which hopefully will rub off on the rest of the team.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I do need to throw it to one more quick break. We will go ahead and be right back on the Rock Talk podcast. And we're back. All right, so it's that time now for the official predictions for the game. So I want you to let me know, what do you think is going to happen in this game? Give me, like, one guy that you think is going to kind of break out a little bit, and what do you think the final score is going to be?
Let me say that how the game's probably going to play out is that I think that, you know, Oklahoma, I think Jalen Hurts might throw an interception. But I think Oklahoma – they just have some all-stars on the defensive line. You've got Jalen Redmond, LaRon Stokes, Ronnie Perkins, Neville Gallimore, Q Overton, Kenneth Mann back from injury. You have Kenneth Murray actually getting some coaching from Coach Brian Odom, who was at Missouri, and Deshaun White over the middle, two linebackers that have been really, really playing out of this world and knowing their assignments, which is really huge. And I think the game just boils down to, really, I mean, can Oklahoma's defense look like a legitimate defense? And I think just because the defensive line, the front six, front seven, I think Oklahoma will be able to get, you know, Carter Stanley into some really awkward predicaments and might even force him to turn the ball over once or twice. I mean, he's only thrown four interceptions this year, but I mean, I think Oklahoma has the ability to chase him down with that side-to-side lateral speed. And I'll say a breakout player of the game, just because he had a poor game against against Texas Tech, I'll say, is Jalen Redmond. He's a guy that we all thought he was going to be a jack backer. Then all of a sudden we thought he was going to be defensive end. And now he's a defensive tackle, but he's 280 explosive. He got triple teamed by Houston, got double teamed, and still got sacks. And I think he'll have a big day along with Neville Gallimore up in the middle of the defense in that one gap scheme they're running, which is being really successful for them. And give me 56-24.
Yeah, I mean, I'm having a hard time arguing with anything you just said, you know, especially since Kansas is going to be without Drew Prox. You know, he's kind of been the heart and soul and the anchor of that defense in the middle. Gavin Potter had a very up and down, you know, the freshman, very up and down performance last week against TCU. Hopefully he can kind of shore some stuff up there. But Kansas, you know, is missing their leading tackler. It's going to have a hard time even slowing down Oklahoma. I do think Oklahoma will get out to a very, very fast start. The question is going to be whether Kansas can get anything going. And my biggest issue is I don't know how heavily they're actually going to lean into the RPO. They did extremely well with that against Boston College, but they backed off since then, which makes you wonder, like, you know, it almost seems like there's an internal power struggle going on for who actually gets
right.
Set up the offensive game plan. I've yet to see them be able to react offensively if their first plan doesn't work very well, to make changes to the game plan, except for when they go in at halftime. And so, you know, what I'm afraid of is that they're going to come out in the beginning of the game and it's not going to go well in the first half. And then they're finally going to make adjustments at halftime. And then by that point, they'll be down by 40 points already. You know, and then at that point, it won't matter. So I do think Oklahoma will get out to a fast start. I'm not sure Kansas is going to be able to get anything going in that first half. They're very much a second half team. But again, I think that's because of their inability to be able to adjust on the fly. And I don't know how much of that is Les Canning, the offensive coordinator, and how much that is they're just not getting them set up unless Miles isn't able to kind of flip that switch. But hopefully they can at least keep it somewhat interesting. You know, even if they're able to cover, I think that might keep it interesting towards the end. But this is not a game that I'm expecting Kansas to really be that competitive in. I think your score is going to be pretty close, but honestly, I think that Oklahoma is going to score at least 60. So I'm going to go something like 61 to probably 31, you know, which would be them covering. But I think it's really going to come down to is that Oklahoma doesn't care about covering the spread. You know, we could see Jalen Hurts have five or six touchdowns in the first half and only play for a couple of series in the third quarter, and Oklahoma will cruise at that point, which will allow Kansas to kind of get back close to that spread number. But yeah, I think that would probably be my final prediction. There would be like a 61-31. Final question for you. I like to do something a little bit off the wall, and what I'm going to pull from today, there was a stat going around on Twitter that says that Les Miles, in the first year that he has added any particular school, he has beaten the number one team in the conference by the exact score of 16-13. So what do you think is more likely, that Kansas wins this game 16-13 or Oklahoma does not win the Big 12 conference this year?
I would say what's more likely is Oklahoma doesn't win the Big 12 conference this year.
I definitely have to agree with you. Like, I don't think there's any chance that this game would ever end up 16-13 in any direction. But, you know, it almost makes me wonder, like, would you rather have – so maybe I'll kind of tweak this a little bit. Would you rather have a really puzzling loss to Kansas here, but that would guarantee that you would go on and win the Big 12 title? Or would you rather take your chances – right. Or would you rather take your chances – win this game and then still have to worry about, you know, are they going to stumble against Texas or Oklahoma State or some other team like that?
No, oh, man, there's so many memes about what happened to Texas when they lost to Kansas under their former regime. So I'm just going to take the dub versus Kansas and see what else happens in the future.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, there's probably a good chance you guys are going to win even, you know, like, regardless of what happens, just because Texas has some severe problems. Oklahoma State has some big issues of their own as well, that I think Oklahoma would be well equipped to take advantage of. But I thought it would be interesting in terms of a thought experience. You know, the other reason I don't think that you can take the Kansas loss is because that could be one of those losses. Even if Oklahoma is a one loss team, if their one loss is
it's a death
knell. Yeah.
College playoff.
So, all right. Well, that'll do it for tonight. Tommy Art, thank you so much for joining me. Where can people find you online?
They can find me on Twitter at KMarabian, CCM. Find all my work at CrimsonAndCreamMachine.com. And just a side note is that one of the current Jayhawk commits, his name is Daniel Hyshaw from Moore, Oklahoma. I know him very well, very personally. And, you know, the Jayhawks are getting a really special one in Daniel. He plays quarterback and cornerback for the Moore Lions. So, really excited to see him, what he does up in Kansas next year.
Yeah, the recruiting class that Les Miles is bringing in right now is absolutely phenomenal. They're still in – they're in the final two for, I think, the top-rated running back in the nation, which is absolutely phenomenal. So, yeah, I think that's kind of the one thing that makes a season like this palatable for Kansas fans, is that there is at least light at the end of the tunnel, the fact that Les is doing a much better job recruiting.
He's recruiting his tail off, 100%.
Right. So – all right, well, Tommy Art, thanks so much for joining me. And thank you guys so much for listening. If you haven't already, you can find us wherever you get your podcasts. We are out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, any of the other apps that are out there. Just search for Rock Chalk Talk. You can rate and subscribe and, you know, give us 5 stars, nice comments. We would absolutely appreciate that. But if for some reason you're unable to, just please do let us know what it is that we can improve on. You know, this podcast is all about the fans. It's all about trying to find ways to interact with the fans and bring them the kind of content that they really want. So if you do have any comments or suggestions, you can contact us by email, rockchalkpodcast@gmail.com. You can contact us on Twitter @rockchalkpod. We do want to interact with everybody there. So if you have any comments, suggestions, you know, anybody who wants to try to interview, anything like that, please do reach out. But we will go ahead and leave it there. Tommy R, again, thank you so much for joining me tonight. And thank you guys so much for listening. And we will catch you next time on the Rock Chalk Podcast.